Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Nancy Guthrie notes. Oh, yeah, there's a big pile of them. And are you as confused as I am by them? We're going to try and make some sense of everything we've been hearing this week from this source, that source, the other source, the source of the source of that source to the next source. Let's talk about the notes, because there isn't just one. There's a pile and they don't agree. One supposedly came from the kidnapper and says Nancy's buried with nature. A completely different guy is telling TMZ that time is no longer of the essence. An outlet says the killer apologized. Another says they never did. That's where we're at. Retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer is here to help us untangle it, along with retired FBI Special Agent Robin Dreek to help us untangle it as well. So we have two retired FBI people on the road in various secretive locations that we won't reveal. So I think this is great because, you know, Megan had the one person on that said they're 75% there, and then somebody else is like, no, not at all. Let's see where we go here. Jen, you follow this closer, I think, than anybody I know. Untangle this twisted web of notes, and did they apologize? Did they not apologize? What conclusions have you come to this week?
Well, I tell you what, Tony and Robin, this is the thing. The whole source situation is out of control. I used to think it was one source for everyone, but now, because all the source information is different for everyone, now I know there must be four or five sources because they're all saying something else. So I finally got, at least on note two, down to the nitty gritty. Brianna Whitley, who was with a Arizona station and saw the note, she came out and told us very specifically about the second note. So I at least feel confident that the second note, and I don't think she'd lie, really watched for tells with that. She has no reason to lie. She's not with the station anymore. So she can say whatever she wants. And so finally we have, I think, the truth, not from a source, but from the mm-hmm. person who read it with their own eyes.
Because she's with Crime Junkie now, right? Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And she was with, was it K-Gun or the other one? One of the other TV stations in Tucson.
I thought it was
Tucson.
With the Phoenix station.
Okay. So she was in the close to the market there. What's in this note too? Let's start there. That the one that she talked about, and why do we think there's legitimacy to note number two?
So based on the FBI's responses, BAU's response, having five different times that the family, which was clearly driven by notes, they're looking down, addressed the perpetrators. Mm-hmm. To me, it's clear that the Bureau and Pima County Sheriff's Office believed these were real. They even did a press conference on it. They discussed how there were things in the notes that no one else could know, one of them being her clothing. I know a lot of people say, yeah, but was the crime scene really secure? Could somebody have picked out the, you know, the floodlight? Well, how did they know about her, what was on her nightstand? How did they know what she was dressed in? So I think that's why the Bureau ran full force, that they believed the notes. Both of these notes are the two that they believe. And secondarily, Savannah said on national television, she believes these two notes are real.
Mm-hmm. So note one from this same person who would have given note number two, note one would have been the one that said what?
So all we know in note one is, and what's recently come out, is that they said, Savannah, we have your mother, or words to that effect. I don't have my notes in front of me, but that was addressed directly to Savannah. And that's where they said basically $4 million and it's going to go up after that, or else we're going to kill your mom. But we haven't seen, and she didn't tell us, meaning Brianna, we don't know, other than from source information, what's in that note, the first one.
Sure. So that's note one, essentially what the basis of what we understand is, we have your mom, we want $4 million in Bitcoin. Is that essentially as accurate as we can be on that? And then note two came from the same source, the same place that note one came from. So that's how those two are connected. That's the one Brianna was talking about. And this one is the one that says she has passed away, correct?
Well, it says a lot more than that.
Okay, tell me that. Give me that, because there's so many stories on they apologize, they don't apologize. This version, this note that connects to note one, what's in this note that Brianna's talked about?
Well, specifically that she accidentally died, buried in nature. There was nothing you could have done to prevent the outcome. And sorry. Those are kind of the main pointers. There was an apology, according to Brianna.
Okay. Robin, I know you got questions, so I want to ask one more quick one here. Because we're hearing the other reporting out there of, are we talking about several different notes here when we hear the one saying that there's notes that came out that said she died, but there was not an apology? Is that a different note? Is that different people? And it's just kind of all in the minutiae here getting discombobulated and mixed in?
Well, it's interesting because TMZ says there was no apology. That's an exact quote from Harper.
There's
no apology. But you hear Brianna said at the end, the salutation is, I'm sorry. So it's so confusing. So it made me wonder, did TMZ actually get a different note, different verbiage in their note than what Brianna got?
Or have they been able to connect that note to these notes, or the only two that we have a true connection to are the ones to the TV station, note one and note two that Brianna's talked about? Do we know if the TMZ note where Harvey says there was no apology is directly related? It's like just another version of the same note, or is that somebody completely different that somehow kind of got a whiff of, oh, they want to hear that she's dead, and maybe I can profit that way in some way, shape, or form?
My understanding is the first two sets of notes, no matter which station they went to, are seen as legitimate. And we kind of know that, right? Because we saw what the Guthries did after even the second note, after the sixth, right? That's when the other notes came in. But I'm not convinced that TMZ had the exact same version of verbiage in their second note. At least it doesn't make any sense to me that Harvey Levin says no apology. And Brianna specifically says at the very end, the salutation is, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering if it's the same people or just two variations of the note. They apologize to the TV station and their note, and the one they sent to Harvey had no apology, but from the same person. I guess trying to determine if it's the same source is the question. And I know that we know the answer to that question yet. Robin, go ahead.
And I apologize if my connection has been a little spotty. The intent, that's what I'm not getting on this is, so, and I'm with you that BAU worked with Savannah and her family because that second message they put out was extremely empathetic in response to an assumption that they believe that second note, which is extremely empathetic, you know, apologizing for the death. That is unheard of in anything. I mean, this whole thing's been unheard of. But if your intent is to get money, either through a wrench attack, through ransom, for any of these things, that is exactly what not to do. It has just never happened before by an individual or even groups. And Tony said he looked up one that there was one having to do with cartels, with it was an accidental, you know, boo-boo hit that they're apologizing for. So not to start some sort of cartel war. But what do you think then is the link between or what their outcome that they're seeking. If they're apologizing for her dying, I just don't get it. I just makes no sense. Can you, does it make any sense to you?
So this is my take on that. I really think that this was preemptive.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Oh, good.
I truly think this was preemptive. And when I say that, the only thing that makes sense to me is these individuals going, oh, crap, she died. We're going to get caught. Is death penalty in Arizona? We're going to act contrite. And this is all completely staged baloney. I don't think she's buried everyone. I think that the words in there, I think, are such nonsense. They tried to relay this empathetic message, and clearly that is what was received. We talked about this. Remember how BAU believed they must be, you know, have some sort of heart that they
could get to?
Because look at how they termed everything. So BAU clearly thinks that they were reachable in this empathetic way. But I think it's more sinister than that. I really was thinking about a case I had, and it made me shift thinking, you know what? This is about preparing for capture. And when we're caught, look, we didn't mean her to die. See, we wrote it right there. We feel terrible about it. See, we wrote it right there. We tried to tell the family this wasn't right or her fault, their fault. So I see those notes as BS, to be honest, in terms of what they're saying. I don't think she was buried. I think they just hit her.
Yeah, so you're seeing it as preemptive in case they're caught, expecting to be caught, which is even more shocking than I haven't been caught yet. So that is literally the only explanation I can come up with on that one, too, if they're real. Again, I always go on the world of if until someone says otherwise. That's rough.
So the thinking is that of someone who's not experienced in doing something like this, clearly, if they're like writing apology notes, getting prepared to be caught. Well, we're sorry. I mean, that's not super common to have that take place. That's rather bizarre. So when we're trying, if these are the people, if these two notes we're talking about to the Tucson TV stations, we have her, we want 4 million, and now she's dead and we're sorry. The second we're dead and she's dead and we're sorry note, are they asking for money in that one too for the body, or is it just she's dead, we're sorry, have a nice day?
Yeah, she's dead, we're sorry, it's a big accident. I forgot to mention one more thing in that note. She said that they were not aware of how serious her health condition was, which I found very interesting. And they also mentioned a heart. They think it was a heart issue.
Yeah.
So they actually mention all of that in the note, which also says mope. If this is even true, you know, mope did not do their research, pointed in that direction and went for it.
So does this still support? Go ahead.
I was going to say, does that make you think that Nancy was the intended target here? Or is it like, shit, I'm still sticking with my theory that they went to the wrong house and Nancy ended up becoming collateral damage. But does that make you think that Nancy was the intended target here to get $4 million? Or did Nancy become the side hustle of, well, we didn't get what we came for, but we ended up with an old lady. Let's see what we can get for her.
I don't think so. I think she was 100% the intended target. Remember that first ransom note was addressed to Savannah. Savannah, we have your mother. So I think just the mentioning of her tells the pointer that they had to even focus on getting Nancy. Nancy was a soft target.
Mm-hmm.
And
you still think it's an organized wrench attack that involved multiple people or an organization that did it? Or is this more individual look to you? Any idea?
I'm definitely half and half. I can see it fitting that, because just like the last wrench attack before this, right, the day before, they got two teenagers to do this. I think it's potluck who you end up getting that wants to do these types of attacks, to be honest. But on the second side of it is, and again, another case that I worked reminded me so much of this. And it was a neighborhood case where high dollar, you know, people living at $3, $4, $5, $10, $12 million homes, professional golfers, et cetera, they were being targeted for robberies. So they knew exactly when they were gone, et cetera, et cetera. And how it all came around was literally the person that ended up doing it wasn't even connected to the neighborhood, but they knew somebody that was. And so that person had talked about the wealth and all of this, and now it's being talked about around bad guys, and bad guys get together and say, oh, this is perfect. We're going to start hitting these places. So it made me wonder if there was that it's tangential,
tangential.
I
mean? Yeah.
Yes. It just sounds weird. On the side like that. In other words, did they come on to Nancy because of something like that? A handy guy that worked with her that talked about it to somebody else. And then it finally gets to the criminal element cousin and his buddies, something like that. But I think either work. The one thing that I'm stronger than ever, though, about kidnap for ransom of Nancy targeted for sure now, because now we know the verbiage in there.
When we're trying to parse all of this together and try to figure out if this thing or where this goes and trying to figure out what is legitimate here, what is not legitimate here. Other than, you know, there seems to be a string, you know, one piece here, one piece there, that kind of connects over there, this kind of connects, that kind of, we still haven't gotten to any sort of place where we know the actual source of this. There's no proof of life. There's no proof they even had her. I mean, even like, not even just, here's her body, something like, are you at all surprised that there's all this money on the table, and if somebody does have her, or access to her, or knows where she's buried, if that's how, like, nobody's come forward in any way, shape, or form to even attempt this, to get the payout, whether that be somebody who's heard about this through leakage, or somebody who might be able to garner some sort of a deal here of, yes, I'm involved, but my involvement can also then lead you to this greater swath of people who are doing this to far more people, taking more down. What do you think is going on there in terms of who knows what and why no one has spoken yet, if this is beyond just a single mope or something?
Well, just putting, you know, myself in the place of a bad guy that has any involvement with this, all I can see is an electric chair in my future. So yeah, there's no chance I'm coming forward for any of it. And I know they say, oh, it's anonymous. No, the Bureau is in the business of making sure that somebody who did this is going to get $1.2 million. So, you know.
How do you think it is that they haven't been able to track down who sent these letters or have any leads on it, or from at least from what we know?
Did you see what Howard Bloom said was very interesting? Again, all of his is source related. And his sources, whoever they are, told him they have the IP address, but that it is masked in some way. So we hadn't even heard that before. I had never heard an IP address even mentioned. Anything like that was known. So that's, again, from Howard Bloom.
Well, wouldn't anybody have an, I mean, if you got an email, you have an IP address. Doesn't mean it's not through a VPN or something that's masked. I mean, but there would be an IP address that comes from an email. Otherwise, you're not getting that email.
No, I totally agree. What I couldn't figure out, well, what I'm hearing when I hear that is, in other words, if it's a Proton, you know, account from another country that you can't trace.
Yeah.
I thought, well, they might not even have an IP address, but my understanding, at least from what he's saying, is no, they have the address.
And it just doesn't lead.
Yeah, it ended up being a dead end. So, and the other thing is these portals these portals that are intake portals, you know, I'm not 100% sure how that is. I need to do it, right? We need to reach out to Tucson and TMZ in their intake portal and see how that process works. Because I've never done it. And that's where these notes came into. These weren't email to email. This was communication to portal.
And, and how many people, because again, I can't even imagine looking at Mope, porch guy, being anywhere sophisticated enough to do anything like this. So you're still thinking there's at least one other person that might be the brains behind this, Jen?
I really do. And initially, no, it wasn't until those notes were legitimized by the outreach by the family. That's when I really said, wow, this is, it's organized, because look at what's happening. Look at the fact that they set up a Bitcoin account without being traced, which is harder than you might think. Secondarily, the IP address that can't be traced. Third, no one was able to get anything from that camera, almost as if they knew if they plucked that camera. I mean, it was really by the grace of God, 10 days later, that Google was able to unravel that. By the way, I am now pretty much leaning toward the fact that with him, with the holster and without the holster, is the same event.
Not two different days.
Same event?
Same, yeah, right. Not two different days. Let me put it more clearly.
Yeah, because that was questioning first of like, is this, and how they don't know this, and how, again, this is, that's a little nugget of information. It's like, how do you not know that based on the metadata of the video? I mean, I would think authorities know that. Why they wouldn't just tell that information, I don't know. Maybe there is a reason that that has not ever been officially explained, and why we're all sitting here having to guess if this is from the same day or not. I would think that would be helpful to put out into the ether of people trying to figure out what the hell's going on here, since they haven't solved anything in this yet.
Well, I think it's two different ways that that was stored. In other words, there's the picture and photographic data. And separate from that are timestamps and things like that. It's two different ways. And I'll tell you who said this and has been saying it, I believe at least twice, for what it's worth, is Nanos. He has said over and over, we don't have the timestamps. So... And I tend to believe that because of how it's stored. You know how it's separate? Like, you get your picture, but then you can reset the time on it, right? I can put any time I want on my system. I can tell it, you're going to say whatever time I pick. I set my system up that way. So time but, is separate from pictures.
But this was accessed from the cloud, this data. So, I mean, that's the thing to me on that. Like, there, when you put the data is going to show you, and even if your clock is off, you're going to see a separation on time if there's a separation on time. It doesn't seem like that's the rocket science portion of this to determine if these are from 2 days apart or 3 days, whatever the hell is a week apart, or all at the same time. You would be able to see how it's stored on the server, when it came in, when it logged. It's there. It's data. I don't see a world in which that element is not somehow stamped onto wherever they were able to pull this out of. You know, it's not like, well, we're going to go into the big room with the computers, Bill, and it's on ticker tape, and then we're going to, like, that's not how this is a file. That it would be there.
I know what you're saying, and that's the whole reason, you know, for being suspect with these being two different days, because how are they digging through? And I think it's on my part, the lack of understanding. Like, I need to find a Google expert, not an FBI agent. You know what I mean? That even works cyber, because they couldn't do it. They needed a Google expert to explain how possibly they could get this data. And now they've explained it, at least, you know, why they've explained it is that it's like an onion, and right, they peeled down and they were lucky to capture this. To your point, were they all right together, these images, or were some in this part of the onion and the other one way down here? that would answer at least if there's a hiatus.
Yeah. I could certainly be wrong, but I don't understanding how data is stored. I mean, it's just basic stuff. I don't get how they wouldn't have that information. I'm assuming they do. They just haven't revealed it, is my guess. I don't know. I mean, it adds to the confusion, the curiosity, and all of the questions that are in this case. So many questions on these letters, but we got more to get to on the Nancy Guthrie case. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube as we continue it.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.